Hello, welcome back to the Edge and Flow podcast. TJ Schwartz here. I'm sitting here with my co-host Lucas Burnley. We are a couple guys that talk about knife making. We talk about shops, CNC machines, hand making things, designing things, and the life of the craftsman. How are you doing, Lucas?
I'm doing good, man. A full tank right now.
Yeah,
Charged up.
you had some fun.
I did, man. It's really nice when you get to tie in work and fun. I think some of us we're like so wired at this point, just like we're working. So if you can tie in an activity that is like work adjacent, I think it's pretty cool. Dude, let's leave it for a minute. I'm curious what we've got shop wise. I just want to know like where you guys are at. We're coming into fall. And what do you got going on right now?
Okay. Yeah. Our production has gotten really pretty smooth. We spent the whole summer kind of working out little kinks, things that don't interfere so much with manufacturing, but are definitely like minor annoyances. There's still a lot left. There seems like there's a never-ending supply of those minor annoyances in
Yeah.
manufacturing, but we have covered quite a bit of ground. So I'm feeling really good. And one of the big revelations that's happened in the last week is that with me having an eye towards really delegating more so that I can be more of a designer and more R&D focused, one of my big tasks has always been sharpening,
Yep.
and that's a fairly decent commitment each week. So I got Steven in front of the knife sharpener, and wanted to see how he liked it, and gave him, we had due after years of making knives, have a bit of a scrap pile. So gave him some scrap knives and got him started, and he loves it and he does excellent work. And it was really awesome to see that now we have two sharpeners in the shop. Very quickly he was picking it up. So the reason I'm bringing that up is like it's kind of a recency bias that just happened this
Yeah.
week that he
Well,
was,
no, but that's a huge
yeah.
one, man. That it doesn't sound like if you're not in a production environment, like that doesn't sound like maybe the most complicated thing. The reality is like that's basically the last thing that's happening to that knife before it goes out the door. And not only is it a critical component of how that knife functions, dude, it's also an area where you can mess up a lot of work before that. So if you mess up, you're tanking all the work that was upstream from it.
And I've always had this kind of insecurity about it because if I had a minor accident, like a broken wrist or something like
Yeah.
that,
Yeah.
I don't know. Basically at that point, I would have to rapidly train one of the guys, like instantly somebody
Yeah.
would have to be sharpening.
Yep.
And that's the one thing in the shop that, like, a lot of my other, tasks and things are more at the managerial level where it's like, as
Yep.
long as I'm still conscious, I can still do pretty much all that. But like, it's too easy to imagine like cutting myself or breaking a finger or
Yeah.
something, and it's just too likely that that could someday happen that I would need some redundancy there.
Yeah.
So the redundancy there has gained me a lot of ability, I think, now to it's the insurance policy, but also the ability to design more because, like I said, we spent all summer working on things around in the production sense around the shop, around
Right.
efficiency, workflow. And just problem solving and reliability, process reliability. And I am loving that, but I gotta have more time to do that because it's non-negotiable and work on new products. And so we just haven't been on a product release schedule that's like very aggressive. We have been doing like one knife a year for a few years, and that's not ideal, I think. So we're just working towards that, and that's been the overall theme. So production's going a lot smoother than it was, and I'm carving out more time, and I'm working on fun, interesting new stuff.
Dude, that's exciting. You know what, though? There's something else. This actually maybe ties into the next component of like what I did for fun. But dude, because of where you are, the reality is if you were to break your wrist and couldn't sharpen knives, you could 100% call on community, like the knife maker equivalent of like borrowing a cup of sugar. Dude, and yeah. somebody in Boise would sharpen knives for you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels weird, but you could be like, dude, I have 200 knives. I need these sharpened. I would bet paper folding money that a shop would be like, yeah, we got you. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Well, a little shout out to Tim Reeve. We haven't talked about that specifically, what we just did, but
yeah,
he's the kind of guy that would help. And it's just
that's who came to mind, but I didn't want to like throw it out there.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, somebody else could do it, but Tim, dude, you came to mind. So thanks for being a good dude.
Yeah. So that is an insurance policy in and of itself, to be in a community that has good friendships and other knife makers, and there's redundancy kind of built into that community wise, which is really cool industry as an industry. I mean,
yeah, and we forget that, dude, we forget, and this is advice that I need to take myself, but we forget that, I mean, you're not doing this in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there are people that get it and want to help and want to see you succeed. And that's like, that's pretty rad.
Yeah.
I will preface story time by, dude, I got the mini mill up, running and producing parts.
That is fantastic.
Last week. And it is awesome. I'm psyched.
Yeah.
It's still separated from the other machine. So right now we have one shop with one machine in it. Mm-hmm. And that is the only piece of equipment.
You need to come up with a little name for that, like Mini Mill Island or something like
that.
Dude,
I know. It's really funny. I'm like, what do we call the new shop? I want it to sound cool, dude. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like
something satellite.
Yeah, dude, exactly. I don't know why I always default to like some version of like space. I just came up with a prototype naming convention, and that's essentially where I went. It's like, oh, it's like a NASA version.
What if, okay, I know you like this kind of thing. So what if it was called ISS and you came up with another frame, like what ISS could stand for that applies to you?
Dude, that's pretty good. Okay. All right. That's going, I'm going to ask ChatGPT how to expand on that concept.
Yeah.
All right. So the reason that I got the machine ready was actually so that I could prototype a turn. Because I got invited on a trip, dude, and it was awesome. So Worksharp reached out a while back and asked if I wanted to go to fish camp. And I didn't really know what that was. But basically, dude, it's like small group. I got some backstory on like how it started. And this particular fish camp has been going for like 30 years. Which is rad. At some point, kind of like Worksharp got into the mix and was like invited, and they were just kind of going. Mm-hmm. Okay. As these things do, they kind of like fade out, you know, people come and go, change hands. And I think at some point, Worksharp, you know, and Josh over there kind of realized like, man, we don't want to not do this. This is rad.
Take ownership. Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah. How do we take ownership and make sure that it like continues?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I guess I would say like loosely, it was, you know, it was probably 20 people kind of in different areas of our industry and like industry adjacent. So there were some knife companies and myself. There were fishing guides, obviously. There was, you know, outdoor companies. It was really, really cool. There were some, you know, people from like the lobbying industry for like, you know, hunting and fishing and wildlife. And just like in the most down to earth, like authentic way, like networking.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, it brought up like, I don't know, man, it brought up a lot of realizations. Like some of our conversations, like you grew up going to elk camp.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I didn't grow up doing that stuff. And I think a lot of people of our like combined generations, dude, like the majority of people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's less about the thing that you're doing and more about going and interacting with like a cross section of kind of ages and walks of life as being like potentially one of the most valuable things you can do. Like, I'm going to say as a man, because I am a man, but I think as a human, it's this concept of like finding tribe.
Yeah.
And then doing tribal stuff. Well,
and there's, absolutely, clearly, and obviously innate that a group of individuals would go out together and try to harvest food. Like, dude, that's in our DNA without a doubt. So
the feeling is incredible. And then, and this is where I say like work adjacent, because you're there and you basically are feeling like, okay, this is like basically vacation. Like there's no element of being stressed out around work or like having some kind of deadline. But at the same time, the conversations naturally ebb and flow through design, through content production. You know, it's like, dude, Captain Ricky was there, Taylor Martin from Best Damn EDC. Did you know Big Bo Brown is?
Oh, that rings a bell, but no.
Dude, he's a delightful human. He really is, man. And he's like a content creator, and his whole page is just like, dude, I am tall. He's like, I got so sick of people like talking to me about like just asking me like tall person questions. Mm-hmm. He's like, I just monetized it. And his channel's great. And dude's like 7'1".
Holy.
Carry me around like a tiny baby Burnley.
Wow.
Dude, like, yeah. So, and like, and this is the thing, man, like these, like, you know, Western salmon fishing is like not on the docket for a content creator from Atlanta, Georgia, who is doing, you know, tall guy stuff, but loves like EDC and knives.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you don't get that cross section.
Yeah.
You know,
dude, that's so cool. That sounds like so much fun. Can I add one thing, dude? Yeah. If you're in a position where you can snag a hook, lose it, and then think to yourself, it's a tax write-off, you have made it in life.
Dude, that's another. So this is where I want to dig into this a little bit too, because you and I have talked about this where you're like, you see, there's like this age thing where you're like, oh wait, that's a business meeting. Like, yeah. You're like, yeah. Oh, the elk trip. Oh yeah. That's work. We gotta do that. But it's not a stretch.
No,
because the reality is that like, I went to this thing knowing I probably knew four names on like the guest list, four or five names on the guest list. And that was it. And I left with probably, I don't know, man, like three or four phone numbers for people who I think I will genuinely stay in touch with. Some who there is like real work potentiality that will probably come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, dude, just right now, everything feels so kind of like online, where we can run our businesses online. We have our communities online. And outside of like specific hobbies or industries, I was like there and I was like, do you realize like how many people probably don't have the opportunity to like just sit out and kind of chop it up with a bunch of people they don't really know, but like you got shared interest. And I felt really fortunate for that.
That is very cool. Yeah, that's a fun time. And I think Worksharp, I have to commend them, because someone has to author that scenario.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Even if they didn't come up with the concept in the origin, like somebody has to actually lay the brickwork for these sorts of groups to exist.
Dude, and it's not inconsequential from a planning standpoint.
No, yeah, certainly.
I mean, this is, yeah, it is. It's a testament. It is really a testament to that idea of kind of like building community. When we're seeing that, dude, like you and I both, I would say like are friends of the brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Worksharp. They're a great company all around. With their knife release, it's really interesting because knives are different. It's an obvious statement, but like knives are different than sharpeners. Yeah. But like, as I've watched, it really seems like they've kind of done it in the, what I would consider kind of like a right way, which is to like just build community. They're like super transparent. They like show process. They're open. It's like a lot of the stuff that some legacy brands are like almost scared of, or maybe just don't think of.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of like out in the open with it.
Yeah.
So this felt like really tied into that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're,
yeah, dude,
they're a company to watch. They have been for a very long time, but they're advancing, you know, they're not just resting on the laurels of the knife sharpeners and stuff. Cause right. It's like, they always have the next generation of knife sharpeners and truly yeah. unique. I mean, it's yeah. not just minor. They yeah. have all different sorts of sharpeners of different technology,
different
advancements.
Methods.
And then
yeah.
seeing them turn over to actual knives and do that. Like, I just have complete confidence that with the mentality they have around sharpeners and just people, that's, they're just going to do well. I'm going to enjoy seeing it.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah, man. I mean, this is the kind of thing that at like brand scale, I think a lot of us kind of like wish we could do,
mm-hmm.
where it's like you put people together, man, you have interesting conversations, you share food. Dude, there was a rad outdoor chef, and he's like cooking on, you know, like a brio, like open flame, like kind of like coal open pit. But it just felt, dude, it felt like family cookout style, where it's like he's cooking, but like, dude, there's coolers open and there's like, you mm-hmm. know, chips and drinks and stuff out on tables, and like kind of people are grabbing stuff out of their camper or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
Not, dude, you know, like not organized enough to feel like you
sterile.
Weren't actually just hanging
yeah.
out with friends, and like
yeah.
things are essentially kind of either working or slightly off schedule. Or, you know, but like everything just kind of being good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect, man.
So,
and you brought home a big old fish that
dude,
I
brought
a
home.
Picture.
Yeah. So basically everybody took home probably like four, no more than that. Like say, like if you look at a salmon and quartered the fillets, everybody probably brought home eight.
Wow.
Which is actually, dude, that's a lot of meat.
Yeah, it is.
I brought home a whole fish because I wanted, like, I'm like, my kids are like, you're going fishing? And they're like, you know, Bo catch a little, like, rainbow trout.
Trout.
Like, it's yeah. huge. And I'm like, yeah. all right, dude.
I'll show like, you.
Yeah. So I wanted, it's way more yeah. fun to bring home a fish as opposed to a fillet.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like it came from the store.
that's so awesome, dude. Yeah, it's great to as it for a kid though too, to see like, you know, that little pink slab, the little square.
Yep.
Check it out.
That came in like backpack. Like,
yeah,
dude. Yeah. And they were psyched. And also, it's funny, man. I bought a Yeti cooler years ago, and I was like, this thing's ridiculous. This is huge. Like, why am I buying this? It's dumb. And then I put a fish in, and I was like, dude, I need a bigger Yeti cooler.
Yeah, right.
Like, it only holds one fish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I need that one that like fills up the whole bed of the truck.
Yeah, right.
Dude, also, mad respect to fishing guides. Well, I'm going to throw some links. Like, maybe we could throw some links in the back end of this, just mm-hmm. so like, mm-hmm. just because it's kind of fun to like see some of the people that were involved. But so we fished for salmon two ways. Okay. We did hover fishing, and then we trolled.
Mm-hmm.
The dude that trolled, that is freaking gnarly. Like, we're on the Columbia. Dude's got to be basically on his boat at like 3 o'clock in the morning, right? To get a spot. Okay. Get the boat in the water. And then we met him at, I think we met him at like
a spot five. Like at the put-in.
Yeah. Dude.
Okay. Okay.
Like, and this is, I mean, cause this is like opening salmon on Columbia kind of stuff, right? Maybe it's not opening, but regardless, there's a lot of people that want to put a boat in the water and try to catch a fish.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you're kind of like, you're in, dude, they do this loop, and the loop, it's like, it's tight. The boats are close together. People, you have like varying skill levels of pilot, or, you know, like what is a
captain
right? yeah. Captain. And then you have like an old man in like a dinghy who is like, you know, one handing a rod and also driving. And like, if he hooks, is might forget to steer.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine the stress. Dude. And then you have six like pogies in the back of your boat that like don't know what the hell they're doing. And you're like,
yeah.
Like, do more of that, do less of that, don't do any of that.
Yep. Yeah, dude, I can actually relate to that a little bit. I did a little whitewater guiding. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and that feeling, you are correct. There's a lot of anxiety involved.
It depends. I don't have it, dude.
Depends on the crowd sometimes, but
I don't have it. We went out. So we went out twice. So the first day we went out and did that, like trolling and limited to one fish per, which is gnarly, man. Cause you're like, you look at these boats and you're like, dude, if you are a private human with a boat, this is that's an expensive day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, right? The second day we went out with this dude, Dave Eng. And this will be kind of fun to dig into. We saw him pull into camp, dude, and he had like, he's like the type of dude where like the inside of the wheels on his truck are like polished. Do you know those dudes? There's no dust. Yeah. Everything, it's like, it's driving like a 2007 like Chevy. And you're like, dude, it's polished. Everything looks good. It's not new, but like, dude, like his trailer breaks. Like there's no dust on him.
Takes a lot of pride.
Pride, dude. You like instantly call it out. We stepped on his boat. He's like, you're not going to drop bait on my deck. like
nice.
You do. You just clean it up. Super nice, dude. So with him, we went out and we hover fished, which do you know what that is?
Is it with a kite or?
No. So basically hover fishing is just like, it's like fishing with a rod in your hands. The other one, like you've got, you're trolling with a rod holder. Mm-hmm. You get a bite, you grab the rod, you fight the fish. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hover fishing, you are essentially just letting your bait hover above the river bed,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a foot or something like that. And mm-hmm. you're watching their screen kind of like, oh, we're dropping down to 14 feet. Like, okay, you're going to crank it up twice, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, you're trying to maintain. We're using barbless hooks, and you get a nibble and you actually have to like set the hook.
Yeah.
Trolling, you're not setting a hook.
More conventional fishing. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And like, you know, you're like tied into it and they don't usually hit it super hard. So you actually have to pay attention. And, dude, that was really fun.
That is cool.
That was really fun. But while we were fishing, I like look down, dude, and there's these cool like machined rod holders. It's like Delrin, and they're like, you know, bolted to the side of the boat, and it's got a place for like, okay, rod, and then like a little tether cord, and then like a place to like sit your bait, like a little bait cup, and then like you know, these big like golf ball size weights, like a little place to put your weight, and it says Eng Fishing on it. And so it's a piece that this dude manufactures.
Oh.
I start talking to him about manufacturing. And this is crazy. We start talking about knives, and he's like, oh, you're a knife maker? That's cool. He's like, I used to do all the model making for Almar knives.
Whoa.
What? Like,
no way.
Dude, that, and that's a wild card. There's probably like a lot of you guys listening, like if you're not familiar with, you know, like 80s, 90s knife brands, look up Almar, because they were awesome.
I've looked at their stuff quite a bit.
Dude, they're super cool.
They're right at the front door when you go into the top floor of SHOT Show.
Yep.
At least they were for a long time.
Yep.
And yeah, I check them out every time.
Yep. It's rad stuff. You know, like Seiki City, like classic. But dude, what's crazy is I was like, what did that look like then? He's like, oh, it's like basically technical drawings into like making like a wood and like plastic model. So I was like, what did you do for model making? He's like, we'd do anything. He's like, you wanted a phone? We'd like make the phone from your drawings.
What?
Like not functional, but we would make like the visual element
mock-up.
He's like foam, Bondo.
Huh.
And I thought that was so, this is like, you know, like this was freaking cool.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
Interesting gentleman there. Yeah.
Got to geek out. Levi had him mic'd up for a little while and we actually got to like talk about that.
Yeah.
Cool. So it was pretty fun.
Yeah, dude. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fun outing, dude. I've never caught a salmon, even though which is crazy. I'm from Salmon, Idaho. That's my hometown. Never hooked into a salmon.
I mean, it's not like a big gym thing who's 4'7". It's like there's actually salmon in Salmon, Idaho.
No, there's not. So. Well, there is. It's newsworthy if someone catches a salmon there. It's just because
I was gonna say it's pretty far in, right? Like
no, it's not because of that. It's because of the dams. So they built all the dams on the Columbia and Snake.
Right.
And the fish don't make it that far anymore.
So
there was a time in like pre-dams in Salmon, Idaho, where it was just running thick, like spearfish them. But
that's wild, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guides were like talking about some of that and like how, like, okay, they go up this far. What's crazy, dude, like, cause this is one of those things where like a lot of the guides are not from the area. And this is something that I always forget. Like if you're a guide, it doesn't necessarily mean you guide your own like ground, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like you might be, okay, we're going to this fishery here. Like, and that's pretty, that would also be super hectic.
Yeah. Cause
I feel like going and being like, all right, I know how to do this thing, but this I'm doing it like in a different area.
Yeah.
Dave was talking about that a little bit. He's like, I've been guiding here for 25 years. He's like, I'm not from here. He's like, but I always just like kept my head down and just worked. He's like, I'd come, I'd fish. I'm respectful. He's like, the guides that would show up and start bragging and like, you know, taking pictures at the dock and, you know, biggest catch and blah, 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 big signage. He's like, they just get their tires slashed. You know, he's like, you make friends and if there's problems with another guide, you just keep your distance like anything, dude. Like rule one, you know, just be a good dude.
Yeah, a steward of the industry.
Steward of the industry. Because there's levels, man.
I've heard of that with the hunting guides, like around Salmon's huge hunting area, and there is guide conflict that occurs, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. So there's hunters there. Trying to think, like, I'm also kind of like blanking on just like the total, like, what brand specific, because it's like you kind of talk about it a little bit and then it just fades and you're like, oh dude, your name's Mike, like, you know what I mean? It's pretty good. The biggest takeaway for me was just like in the knife industry, we're super fortunate, right? Like when we go to a show, we get a little taste of that, right? And it's not just like, it's not just a convention. It literally is this family reunion / like hyper interest conversation generating event. If you don't have that in your life, like if you're in an industry where you don't have, like the industry itself doesn't have like get togethers or meetups or your friend group isn't doing that, like, if you can figure out a way to add a little bit of that into your life, I think that's like a huge hack.
Yes.
Like in almost too many areas to count.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's, and I keep the whole time you're explaining this, I'm just thinking about our turkey hunting trip and how that's
prime example.
It's turned into a bit of a tradition, and it's just, I look forward to that for 364 days of the year. You know what I mean? It's
legitimately,
it's a major, major thing on the calendar for me.
Yep.
And if you fundamentally, it's like a very simple, it's not really complicated in a sense. It's just guys hanging out that have a similar mindset. They do similar things for work, have similar things to talk about, normally spread out across the country in some way. And then we're all going to get together and do something very simple, very fundamental, and just enjoy nature. And it's like, you just can't beat that. You cannot.
Can't beat it. I never, when I rode motorcycles, like in my 20s, I never understood when guys would be like, have a bike and be like, I take like one or two trips a year with my friends. And I was always like, that's nuts. Like, how do you do that? Like, why? And now I fully get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's just the catalyst, man. Like that, that component allows you to go and spend time with people that you like in a meaningful way for 10 mm-hmm. days or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think golf fills that role for a lot of,
there's a ton. I mean, sports do it. Yeah. Anything that's team based, I think, where you're almost doing things like side by side, you know,
shared struggle,
shared success, like, dude, sharing food. And just like, it's also cool because it really is self-selecting. It's like, if that's not your group, or you're not for that group, I feel like it usually gets figured out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, or you adapt. It's like when you're younger, if you get to hang out with like a group of older friends, or like if you have a friend who's older and you hang out with their friends, it makes you kind of like, you're like, oh man, is that like it makes you just like check your responses, I think, in a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's like anything, right? Like if you're in a business and it's like you're doing a different type of event, like all of these things, I just think they're good from the standpoint of like personal development.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. Which is making me think we need to author something ourselves. I don't know what it would be.
I know.
But
I left and I'm like, okay, we need to do this somehow else.
Yeah.
Also, because it's feeling like I would like to spend more time doing that. Dude, I butchered the salmon that I brought home. It's hard. The guides make it look so easy.
Yeah.
Just fast.
Yeah.
Just like cut. Like three
fruit
cuts.
Ninja. Yeah.
Dude, and I'm over here like,
oh. Yeah. Well, and I feel like it's one of those things that like the slower you go, the harder it is in a way.
Yeah.
It's like the smoothness of doing it fast is like actually more effective in some ways, maybe.
It's like most things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool though. I'm really trying, like anytime I get some type of animal, I try to use the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, dude, a big fish. There's a lot there.
Yeah. Yeah. Make some broth.
Yeah, dude, we're going to make stock. I really want to roast the head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you like roast head, collar, tail? Get a little fish snack.
Yeah.
That was a missed opportunity. No, like heads, tails, collars got thrown on the grill. We cooked salmon, but like none of it just got like thrown up there and picked at.
Yeah. No, that would have been cool.
That would be cool.
Get some fish eyes.
Dude, get some fish eyes. Yeah. Yeah, man. So yeah, left. Like I sat down last night and kind of started like putting my thoughts together. Just felt good coming into the fall. You know, what's interesting too, is this event happens. Dude, this is like elk season. So the people that were there, there's a lot of people that are like, I'm missing elk right now. Like, you know, where you're like, they made a choice.
Yeah.
To come and hang out at a time where they have something. And like, that's kind of cool too. There were guys that like left Wednesday night and were driving like straight to wherever they were hunting.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, those couple weekends of elk season, I love hunting. I'm not like a super hunter. I can like walk away from hunting for a year and it doesn't totally kill me.
Yeah.
But I do have a lot of friends that it's like, if you were to, you know, twist their ankle so they couldn't hunt for a year, it's,
yeah,
you might as well drive nails through their freaking head. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, an obsession, which is cool.
It's pretty interesting. Well, I mean, you grew up doing it, right? So like, it was such a part of your life for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple seasons, like you did waterfowl and you did big game. And, you know, I think it, at where you're at in life right now, like growing business, small kids, it's like an obvious time to not be able to like hit every season. And it doesn't mm-hmm. feel like you're missing anything either.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But
probably. So do you use, up. Did you use the turn on the fish?
Dude, I did use the turn on the fish. I finished the knives. This is insane. I heat treated them in house, but they were, the bevels were done. The edges are like 10,000ths. Dude, and I kept them straight.
Nice.
I was pretty happy. They stuck to the foil.
Mm.
Magnica, that's the first time I've heat treated Magnica. I was pretty happy. I tempered it back to 62.5. Mm-hmm. Shooting for 63, got 62.5. But like there was little areas where it like pulled on the foil and like deformed the edge. And I was able to like get the knife straight, but I couldn't always get like a little detail in the edge out.
Mm.
But since these were just prototypes for me,
mm-hmm.
I was psyched.
Yeah.
Dude. Well, nice and they work. They worked great. Dude, I'm so excited. So it was funny because I finished sheaths and got in the truck and left. It like felt like I was getting ready for a show.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a show.
I mean, it kind of was. Yeah. Took Levi with me, which was rad. So he basically had his camera and we got like some good content and
nice.
You know, he got to fish a bunch too. And it was really cool, man. This is another prime example, right? So Levi shooting for us, and dude, he's helping with shipping. He's like helping run the laser, but he's doing a lot of like the social media management, but he's not from the knife industry. So mm-hmm. an event like this for him, dude, like he gets to come have a good time, but he also gets to sit down with Captain Ricky and Taylor and just like talk about like, oh, what are you guys shooting with? Like, what are you guys seeing? Like for, you know, what are you doing? Like what, it's the same thing that what we're doing. What's process.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I can remember those early days where you don't know what you don't know, and you can, you know, in the very beginning, you're sitting around a bunch of knife people and they're dropping names and saying things that it's, they all think of it as obvious, but you don't really know. You would never think to, you know, ask that question. And then it just begins with immersion. It's just being surrounded by it, and it you just absorb it. So I'm sure he'll pick up a lot.
Yeah. It just, it's like all, it's all community, man. And mm-hmm. it's like this thing, you have to be connected. Also, dude, shout out Shane, dude, the dude who is like kind of filming for Worksharp and like does, I don't know exactly like what his role is, but he had cameras for this. So I don't think he's like, he's the social media component, but he was filming and that mm-hmm. might go to somebody else. But dude, he was ripping a drone when we were on the boat
mm-hmm.
and like, he was the first one to catch a fish, which is like proper. Cause then he could just like, you know, he could be on his camera.
Yeah.
Right. And then he had the drone in the air when two of us landed fish. And
this is
in the middle of like an 8-hour fishing day. Jeez. So it's like pretty legit. Yeah. And then as he's standing on the bow of the boat, catches the drone in his hand.
Oh my gosh.
Pro.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. A drone shot. That's gotta be a cool shot. I hope they post that.
Dude, I do too. I really hope I'm probably making some like weird face and drooling on myself, but it was really fun. Dude, the fish, I don't know. I actually don't know why this would be, but I would guess the fish that we trolled for, arguably like the fish that I landed was bigger, but the fight was so much less. And I think part of it was due, like, okay, probably the rods are way, way stiffer and the line is stiffer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this like chonking golf ball of like a lead weight.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I would imagine that all of that like just makes it easier to pull in a fish.
Yeah, I imagine.
Dude, the ones that we hover fish for, those things put up a fight.
Nice.
Like, I mean, like, you know, rod tip bent back under the boat kind of stuff where you're yeah. like, is this gonna hold? Like,
yeah.
And you're barbless. So you're trying to like lead
keep
it
that
and
pressure.
Like you're trying to keep that pressure. I hooked a sturgeon.
You did. Cool.
And they were getting ready. Dave was like, dude, we're going to cut the line. Like
it was
just like, there's nothing that I could do.
Oh, wow.
Like put the drag in, didn't matter.
Jeez.
Like
just zinging.
All of a sudden. Yeah. Rod is just like going. And finally it like popped and we lost it. But
yeah. Yeah, sturgeon are freaking massive.
Big old dinosaur.
We actually have quite a few of those in Idaho. I went sturgeon fishing. We pulled a 6-footer out, and it's like in our Idaho River, you don't really like appreciate the fact that there's up to like 9-foot fish just
an
in there.
Animal that is that big.
It's just hard to even grasp. In the ocean, it's like, yeah, kind of picture that, like in a, you know what I mean? But there's some areas in the, you know, Idaho River. It's not like you just look at the river. You're like, I don't know. Maybe there's some smallmouth bass in there. Maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
No, there's a freaking
Goliath.
Yeah. Like,
and they're like so mellow.
Yeah.
You know, but if you see them, they don't look mellow.
Yeah.
You know, they look like armored, like spike sharks. Dude, I mean, they
we saw a giant dead one on the beach when we were at the coast.
Oh, really?
PNWCI, yeah.
Along with your beach elks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Saw it all.
It's pretty good. You're not going to hunt this year?
I'm going to try to put together a deer hunt. So it'll be mid to late October.
Nice.
It's looking like we have a penciled in deer hunt, and we're going to see if we can make it happen. We put in for elk tags and did not get them. Me, my dad, and brother-in-law tried to nab one, but
nice.
We'll try.
I've got a general season elk, which I think is November here for like, it's just like West Cascades.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, dude, like I'm not a hunter. Okay. I have gone hunting a couple of times. I am not a hunter. So I'm just trying to like, I just want to go into the woods and like try and learn. I've got two buddies that have tags for elk, and we're basically going to make what I think is probably going to be like the wild hogs equivalent of an elk camp. Like, you know, like no skill, but a lot of enthusiasm.
You have the peak beginner's luck that you'll ever have. So you better make it count.
I know. But like one of them was an EMT. So I'm like, okay, if somebody doesn't get hurt and you don't save them, that's like a missed opportunity to the story.
Right.
You know, then I actually have an archery tag for deer that's close. So my plan is this, if I can stay close, I can go. Dude, I just want to like go out and walk around in the woods with a bow and like try to figure it out. Right.
That'd be
like,
sweet.
Got like a decent area, like 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get out there a couple times.
That'd be great, man. That'd be great.
We're now a hunting podcast today, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't grow up fishing?
No, I mean, I fished a lot when it comes to like throwing a hook in the line in the creek and,
but your dad, like trout. Your dad is not like, he wasn't like, we're
not a fishing family.
You're not a fishing family.
We didn't. Yeah. I went deep sea fishing once cause we were on vacation. It sounded fun. I went sturgeon fishing cause I was with a friend once. And other than that, I caught a billion trout out of lakes and creeks, but just because we were, you know,
conveniently. Yeah. But that's like target of opportunity and like,
but we hunted a lot. Like hunting was the thing for
was
sure.
The thing. Yeah. I was talking, there's two of the guys that were there. I think they have a channel called Hunt Fish Northwest, and they just got back from Depot Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, it's sick. You basically like drive out, they drop crab pots, you fish, you pick up crab pots on the way back in. And he's like, we limited out. I forget what it was, like ling cod and something else, and then crab.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how much is that? He's like, oh, it's like probably like $300 a person or something.
Oh, that's not bad.
Dude, it doesn't, it doesn't seem bad. He's like, I don't know. Yeah. He's like, I'm sitting on like 12 crabs right now, or like,
you know. That is cool.
So
yeah, that's similar to that. There's one of my dream trips. I got the opportunity to do it, and then I had to back out, had things come up a few years back. But there's a central part of Idaho called the Frank Church.
I remember and this.
It's the largest wilderness area in the country outside of Alaska. And so the wilderness area, meaning a literal sense, and you can't even ride a bicycle in there legally.
Right.
Nothing with a wheel. And so they have like three or four airstrips that it's like a little easement where it's like the only mechanical object that can ever be in this ginormous region is a plane. You can touch down, you have to leave. And so you can get a hunting permit in there, and then you can have a pilot drop you off with like basically backpacking gear. And then they're just like, we'll be back in 4 days and have fun.
Wow.
And so I really would like to do that. And I mean, there's no roads. I mean, it's 12% of the state of Idaho in one mass that has.
So wild.
Yeah, it's large. Millions of acres.
Things don't happen if you don't plan them. I think that's another one of those things, like with Worksharp, where I'm like, you saw this, you were doing this, right? And like, you know, Josh is like, yeah, it's like, this was something that we look forward to. Like, if you don't put it on the schedule, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think with these things, like people rotate in and out, and that gives it like a natural, it doesn't become stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everyone can do all the activities at every season, you know. You know, another takeaway, I was thinking about this just sitting there, is for something that a brand kind of puts on, it could get gatekeepy fast.
Yeah.
Or like, no, we're the only sharpener company, or we're the only knife company that's here. Mm-hmm. And dude, it's like, I got to hang out with Kyle a bunch, dude, from CRKT, who also does turkey camp with us and mm-hmm. is a friend, right?
Yeah.
But that is like a prime example of just like open, collaborative,
yeah,
like people realizing like people before product, like rising mm-hmm. tide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's crazy. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
I totally. Just keep coming back to it. Like that is at a human level, but also at like a brand and business level. You don't need to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you can actually take care of people and be good to people and be successful.
Well, not only can you do that and be successful, it leads to success.
To more success. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like just changing season and I'm a weirdo, but I keep like thinking about this and just, I'm like pretty psyched on the people that I know. And I never network, right? But that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think about it that way, but just, I'm really grateful. Like I know a lot of really, really good people, but it doesn't matter. Like individual or company, it doesn't matter. Like mm-hmm. they're just good.
Yeah.
So that's a good goal.
Quality humans.
Quality humans, man. And like we all deal with the ones that aren't so quality.
Yeah.
Or haven't figured out that would be cooler.
Yeah. And maybe sometimes they don't get to go on the fishing trips.
That's true, man. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. It's funny. Like you did Seaside, you know, and Billy Cho, like, I think that's with him. Like, he's just really, he's really good about that. Where he's like, dude, it's like you protect your community. And like,
mm-hmm.
someone's not good. Like they don't get to come to the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not like a decent human or like a good brand, or like you're burning people. Like that's on you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Protect the vibe.
Protect the vibe. Yeah, man. So that's all I got. I'm psyched. I missed a week of actual shop work to do this. That does not feel like I missed anything. But like it's fall, kids are back in school. Feels good to be like just ready to crank.
Yep. Ready to bear down.
You've got, yeah, man, you're working on projects that you probably don't want to talk about yet. but like you've got fun stuff.
Yeah.
To do.
I'm enjoying myself for sure.
Good, man. You guys doing any trips in the caravan?
Yeah. So we've done we've done a lot of trips, and next weekend we're going out to meet with my parents and sister and her husband, and we are probably going to go over to not really see all of Yellowstone Park, but like West Yellowstone Island Amazing. Park area. So we're probably going to go dink around over there next weekend.
Amazing.
That's going to be fun. It's a great time of year.
It's going to be fun. The fall. I got to ask, dude, have you figured out any like mods or upgrades that you want to make to the camper, or have you like back and nested in where she's like, this goes in this drawer.
It's been fully nested. That's for sure.
Fully nested. Okay.
Mods. clearly we need better tires on it.
Better tires. Yeah. That's Cause it's got like, given. It's got like straight up like van tires.
Nexen. Yeah. Generic high mileage kind of hard rubber. Yeah. Pie cutters. So, and it's not really, the traction's pretty good on it, but it's just, I'm worried about a flat. I'm very worried. It's a heavy vehicle, little tiny tires that are thin.
You want like speed and load rated.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. What are you going to put on?
I'm a huge fan of KO2s, BF Goodrich KO2s.
Yep.
It's probably my favorite tire out there, but I could be swayed. So I'll probably do a little more research, but
what am I running? I'm running, like Toyota Open Countries or something. Mm-hmm. And I really like those. And I've run the Falcon
Wild Peak
AT3s.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't love them on my Tacoma, which is funny, but they're pretty good. I think I'm going to put them on Maddie's minivan.
That would be sweet.
She knows the minivan's good. We got a Sienna. She's like, it's good. But she's also like, I'm driving a white minivan and I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lift it and put
it needs on it. A roof rack, a lift, and like a couple amber lights on it somewhere.
That's it, dude. And
it's there.
Oh man, I know, that's pretty good. I know you got a hard time out, man. Should we wrap it?
Yeah. This was an interesting episode. I think it's kind of an example of how this podcast goes sometimes. Is we talk to each other and we record it, and that's really the fundamentals. So.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys That's listening.
True. Yeah. If it's off brand, it's on brand. Side note, we got really good feedback after we had Ernest Emerson on here. That was really cool. And also just awesome to see and like remember, like not everybody listening, it was like familiar. And then a lot of you guys were psyched because you're super familiar. And that felt really good. Again, it's not a vacuum. Not everybody knows all the things. It makes us feel good that we have like maybe a little bit of a mixed demographic listening to the pod. Sometimes we assume it's like only people that know all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we talked to Ernest. He's going to come back on. We're going to do a round two and dig into a bunch more of that story.
Yeah. He's one of those guys you just ask him a question and he will answer it in the most interesting and sort of prolonged way of adding question. It's like he adds questions to your question and then answers those questions
in such a way.
He's just a good communicator.
Well, dude, fun. You know, what's crazy is like, and this is like, we're not interviewers and we hadn't talked to him outside of exchanging an email ever before he was on the pod, and that's like actually like fairly risky because there's no guarantee that someone is a conversationalist or like wants to really talk with us, you know. So that went well. I mean, that was 3 hours of just flowing easy conversation like we had known each other for years. What it felt like.
It did feel like that.
Heck yeah.
We'll bring him back. Hope you guys are looking forward to it. I know I am.
All right. Cool. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yep. Get outside, catch a fish.
Dude, hang out with some friends. Like,
find some good people.
Dude, go join. Find some people, maybe even that you don't hang out with all the time, or like something you're interested in, and like go be a beginner at it and let someone teach you stuff. and just like build your community, because it's awesome. It makes things better.
It's everything.
Cool.
Peace.
Later, guys.